Hi there, it's Gideon. Before we get into today's episode, we have a quick request. In a few weeks on Apple News in Conversation, we're going to be talking with an expert about what it takes to be self-employed. So if you've thought about quitting your job and becoming your own boss, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about taking that leap? If that's something that interests you, use your iPhone's Voice Memos app to record yourself. All you have to do is tell us your name, where you're from, and your question. And then send it to us at applenewstoday@apple.com. Again, that email is applenewstoday@apple.com. And you might hear our guest answer your question on the show. Thanks so much. Good morning. It's Monday, April 29th. I am Gideon Resnick in for Shumita Basu. This is Apple News Today. Coming up on today's show, America's history of using troops on student protesters, new federal rules for flying, and a WNBA legend retires. But first, at least five people are dead after dozens of tornadoes struck Oklahoma and Iowa. Tens of thousands of homes lack power with a major cleanup operation ahead. And there's more severe weather forecast in the future, with powerful storms possible from Texas to Missouri. Now to news about the war in Gaza. President Biden had a phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Sunday. The White House says that they talked about a possible Israeli invasion of Rafah, recent videos released of Americans held hostage by Hamas, and the importance of increasing humanitarian aid for Palestinian civilians. The Biden administration has stressed that Israel needs to provide a clear plan for protecting civilians before it launches a major new assault on Rafah in Gaza's south. Some 1 million people are sheltering there. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby told ABC that the U.S. and allies are still working on a temporary ceasefire deal that would include a hostage release.
If we can get that in place, then that gives you 6 weeks of peace. It gives you no fighting for 6 weeks, and that includes no fighting in Rafah. And what we're hoping is that after 6 weeks of a temporary ceasefire, we can maybe get something more enduring in place.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken arrived in Saudi Arabia today. It's the first stage of a trip that will include a visit to Israel and talks with leaders of multiple Arab states. Also today, World Central Kitchen will resume operations in Gaza. The charity founded by well-known chef Jose Andres had stopped food distribution after seven of its aid workers were killed by an Israeli airstrike. Israel dismissed two senior officers involved. Hundreds more protesters were arrested on college campuses across America over the weekend. Students are demanding an end to the war in Gaza and that their schools divest from companies that profit off of it. While by and large, these protesters have been peaceful, some Republicans have called on state governors to deploy the National Guard. Here's Republican Senator Josh Hawley talking to Fox News last week.
I mean, what is going on these campuses? Send in the National Guard and wake these kids up. I mean, they ought to know they can't do this.
Democratic Senator Tim Kaine told NBC that sending troops would be a repeat of past mistakes.
I think calling in the National Guard to college campuses for so many people would recall what happened when that was done during the Vietnam War, and it didn't end well. The National Guard going to college campuses, Kent State and elsewhere, did not end well. And I think that would be a very, very bad idea.
Next month will mark 54 years since what has become known as the Kent State Massacre, when the Ohio National Guard shot and killed four student protesters. Another nine were injured, with one left paralyzed. The Kent State shootings are universally seen today as an American tragedy, a massive overuse of force. But the Washington Post reports that at the time, attitudes were quite different. In a poll conducted after the shootings, only 1 in 10 people blamed the National Guard for the deaths. Most blamed the students. The protests then and today are very different. At Kent State, some protesters threw rocks at troops. Today's demonstrations are largely peaceful, and yet police have arrested hundreds of students across a number of campuses. Some say they were suspended from school without due process. One of the most dramatic standoffs took place in Texas. There, Governor Greg Abbott ordered state police to the University of Texas at Austin last week. He said student protesters, quote, belong in jail. That's a contrast from 2019, when Abbott spoke in support of free speech on campus and put that into law.
Some colleges are banning free speech on college campuses. Well, no more, because I'm about to sign a law that protects free speech on college campuses in Texas.
Brian Vandermark teaches history at the U.S. Naval Academy, and he has a book coming out this summer about the killings at Kent State. This weekend, he wrote an op-ed for The Washington Post warning lawmakers to heed the lessons from that time. For the book, he interviewed several National Guardsmen involved in the Kent State massacre. Some of them were just teenagers. Some had barely used a rifle before. One told Vandermark that reflecting back, he can't understand why someone would, quote, put soldiers trained to kill on a university campus. Vandermark argues that universities should aspire to be safe spaces where people can debate passionate views. And he warns that lawmakers calling for the use of force against today's protesters risk repeating the tragedy at Kent State. Recently, flying has become a bit of a nightmare, and the Biden administration says it wants to do something about it.
Telling stories, good and bad, about your flight is an American pastime.
That's Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
And too often, the things that we hear about aren't just irritating inconveniences. They are significant harms and, more importantly, violations of passengers' rights.
Now, the Transportation Department says airlines will have to give passengers a more accurate sense of travel costs up front and a refund when things don't go smoothly. For example, if you've ever been bumped from a flight or significantly delayed, you may have been issued a travel voucher or credit from your airline. The government is now changing that. Buttigieg explained on NPR.
Well, let me give you an example of something that would often happen. You would have a major delay or have your flight canceled, and the airline would say, we're going to offer you 5,000 miles, which might sound good, but that might be worth $50 when you're actually entitled to 300. And by taking the miles, you give up your right to get the cash.
When the new rules kick in, airlines will be required to give an automatic cash refund, and quickly. If your checked bag goes missing for more than 12 hours after a domestic flight, you'll be entitled to a refund for the baggage fee. And if you buy in-flight Wi-Fi and it doesn't work, you'll get a refund for that too. The administration also wants to create more transparency around surprise junk fees. Those are those extra charges for checked bags or seat selections. They'll have to be noted up front and clearly. So the price that you see when you search for a flight is the price you get when you're checking out. NPR reports that the airline industry has been resistant to these changes. At a hearing a year ago, an industry lobbying group representing Delta, American Airlines, and United said disclosing charges up front would cause more confusion for passengers. But Buttigieg tells NPR he thinks the proposed changes are a win for everyone.
This is really about making sure that we create a better experience for passengers and a stronger aviation sector in the United States.
These new rules go into effect in about 6 months, so not quite in time for the busy travel season, but they'll be in play by the time winter holidays roll around. Before we let you go, a couple of big stories from the sports world. WNBA star Candace Parker announced her retirement. She's a two-time MVP, three-time WNBA champion, and a winner of two Olympic gold medals. She opted not to play another season with the Las Vegas Aces, saying, quote, the competitor in me always wants one more, but it's time. Before she went pro, Parker made history playing for Tennessee as the first woman to dunk in an NCAA tournament game.
Turn over to Spencer. You're thinking about a dunk? There it is!
She also won two NCAA championships with Tennessee. And in baseball, The Athletic reports that the much-criticized new MLB uniforms will be changed by next year. It obtained a Players Association memo saying that the union has gotten indications that fixes are on the way. That includes bringing back larger lettering on the tops and improving the pants' stitching and zipper. The new uniforms have drawn complaints from fans and players alike. Fans didn't like the design and they mocked how sheer the fabric was on the pants. And players said the new uniforms were prone to rips and that the pants fit poorly. Nike did not respond to The Athletic about the news. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening to the news app right now, we have a narrated article coming up next from Women's Health. Fertility specialists told the magazine they've been seeing an uptick in Gen Z patients freezing their eggs in their mid to late 20s. It's an attempt to get ahead of potential issues. Experts say most people in this age group should not feel pressured to rush into a fertility clinic, and they share some tips on how to navigate the nuances of family planning. If you're listening in the podcast app, you can follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story, and I'll be back with the news tomorrow.